Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman. The battle over raw, unpasteurized milk is up next. Massachusetts lawmakers are considering a significant change to state regulations that could allow farmers to deliver raw milk directly to consumers.
Right now, raw milk sales can only happen on the farm. And in Massachusetts, dairy farms need special certification from the state to sell raw milk at all. Public health officials have long held that dangerous microorganisms can grow in raw milk, making it a potential health hazard. But raw milk advocates say the risks are minimal and that it has added benefits because it contains nutrients that are destroyed during pasteurization.
To begin the conversation about this, David Gumpert joins us now. He's the author of The Raw Milk Answer Book, What You Really Need to Know About Our Most Controversial Food. And he joins us from New Hampshire Public Radio in Concord, New Hampshire. Welcome, David.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us. And listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you drink raw milk? And if so, why? Do you like the taste of it? Is it about the benefits that you think you're getting? And are you curious about raw milk, thinking, you know, as you get healthier, maybe this is something you should switch to? Join us by phone at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook or head on over to Twitter at Radio Boston. David Gumpert, I just want to establish who you are in this conversation, in addition to being an author, whether you drink raw milk and whether you are in favor of allowing wider sales opportunities in Massachusetts and elsewhere?
Yes, I do drink raw milk. I am also in favor of what I would call choice. I don't really have a position that raw milk is somehow a magical cure, or that from the other side that raw milk is inherently unsafe and shouldn't be consumed under any circumstances. I think people should be able to make that decision for themselves.
I think the topic is parallel with many other things that are debated right now, how we consume food in particular, like whether it's something is a GMO grown or not. We'll get to that another topic, another show. What are the most recent developments in legislation in Massachusetts, if we could lay that out for listeners as they think about how to join us?
Well, you alluded earlier to the legislation that's pending. It's actually been pending for a few years now that would allow dairy farmers in Massachusetts to deliver milk. Right now, the law is that for farms that are permitted, and there are about 25 to 30 farms in Massachusetts that have permits from the Department of Agricultural Resources that allow them to legally sell raw milk. Now, in practice, a good amount of milk is transported because most of those farms are out in western and central Massachusetts, and much of it is consumed in the Boston area. So there is informal transportation, carpooling, and some services that are taking milk. But the purpose of the legislation is to formalize that and take away the uncertainty and the possible room for some kind of prosecution of these people or whatever. There's a second initiative that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but it's been going on also for a couple, 3 years, and that's an initiative to allow small farmers that maybe aren't large enough to qualify to get permits to be able to make raw milk available via something called a herd share or a cow share. This mm-hmm. is a group of individuals who get together and essentially buy a share in the herd. The three or four or five cows that a particular farmer may have.
Like a CSA in that way.
It's like a CSA,
okay.
Yes.
All right. And I know that I believe that Smitty Pignatelli, a lawmaker from Lenox, is involved
yes.
in that one as well.
Yes.
I just want to clarify that raw milk is not allowed by federal decree to cross state lines. How rigorous are the qualifications to become a farm in Massachusetts allowed to sell raw milk, however that is? I mean, there's only a certain percentage. I don't know if that's because they don't care to sell it, the 28 out of the 160 or so. Is it a strict
that's part
guidelines?
Of it. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. And part of it is it's difficult to get insurance in some cases. It's also, an issue with farmers just personally not being committed to the pasteurization process. It's what they've always done. and they don't want to really make a change in how they do business, because it is a pretty big change in how you do business. All of a sudden, instead of selling the milk to the processors, now you're selling directly to consumers. And so now you have to market your milk differently. You have to set up a different system for bottling it. And the other thing is some farmers, which are really small, and I alluded to this when I talked about cow shares, can't qualify because they don't have the – they don't meet certain requirements. The Department of Agricultural Resources requires that farmers have certain facilities. And so they might and it varies from state to state. I'm not up on exact Massachusetts requirements, but a lot of them require, for instance, that you have a cement floor,
okay,
or that you have a separate building for your bottling from your from the milking and from the storage.
The kinds of things
all these cost money.
Right, and the kinds of things that small and large farmers are required to have, whether they're growing spinach, they have to have, you know, the right amount of water and bleach and all these things that make sure that the bacteria that come with food in a natural way are not established. So, listeners, we are talking with David Gumpert. We are talking about raw milk and want to hear from you if it's something that you drink, something you're curious about, or whether you are sure that pasteurized is the way to go because of what some say are the harmful bacteria that easily, especially with milk, can be born and make a public health crisis. 800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK is the number to join us. David, I just want to let us hear from Dr. Al DiMaria. He is with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. He's the Director of Communicable Disease Control. And let's hear a bit about pasteurization. He says it's the safest way to consume milk, and it doesn't change the nutritional value of milk.
I can't speak to if it changes the flavor of the milk. I've never tasted raw milk, so I don't know. But, you know, I think it's a small price to pay for the advantage that it has in preventing significant infections. That it used to be a big problem before pasteurization was generally used.
And that was back some time ago now, and that was diphtheria, tuberculosis, typhoid. Those are not necessarily the things that happen now if there is a bacteria. But, David, can you explain, you know, that what you see as the benefits of drinking this milk versus the risk? And it is a Russian roulette in some ways because the risk is higher than a salmonella, for instance.
Well, the risk is higher than with pasteurized milk, and I agree with what the public health official just said. I would say, though, that the risk here in Massachusetts or in neighboring states like New Hampshire, Maine, we have not had an illness from a permitted dairy here in Massachusetts since the permit process started back in 1993. So you're talking about over 20 years without a reported illness. Same thing in New Hampshire, same thing in Maine. In fact, in New Hampshire and Maine, you also have retail sales of raw milk, so it's more widely consumed than it is here. But as far as the benefits of raw milk, you know, we have not done a huge amount of research. The research that's come out of late that's most striking, I'd say, is from Europe, and there have been about three very significant studies there, over 20,000 children drinking raw milk versus pasteurized milk, and those studies showed a pretty significant protective factor from in raw milk from things like asthma and allergies.
So when were these studies conducted?
These studies were conducted between 2005 and 2010.
And I'm sorry, by independent organizations?
These were by university hospitals and, in fact, and some American researchers, including Harvard researchers involved in one of them, one of the largest studies. So, no, these are internationally recognized studies. They've been published in international journals.
So this is opposed to what the CDC says, which is that there are no health benefits from drinking raw milk,
right? And, yeah, they keep saying that. These studies aren't conclusive, but they say that without acknowledging that, hey, there are some studies that suggest that it's not all bad news. These studies need to be followed up on to, for instance, understand what aspect of raw milk provides the protection. They don't really, the researchers didn't really, couldn't really figure that out and couldn't really say.
So people are seeking health benefits, right? And they're looking for some kind of probiotic bacteria, you know, whether that's kombucha or from maybe from this milk yogurt. What, you know, there is the notion that people can get these benefits in some other way, but they're choosing raw milk. And some of that has to do with what, David? Control over what you eat, what you put in your body, how you buy your food. It's a very personal decision.
Yeah, I think, well, a part of it comes to the fact that it involves children and families and what families are going to consume. So children tend to consume dairy. And in fact, and I think part of the reason that the whole raw milk issue is as emotional as it is that the first food that all of us consume pretty much is mother's milk. And then we graduate to cow's milk or goat's milk. And but that emotional connection remains, and I think that's a big part of it. But what many families are reporting anecdotally and is that their children are healthier. They seem to get fewer colds, fewer streps, and all of that. So that's kind of and then some families where there's children with say serious conditions like autism are reporting improvements in the autism from when they consume raw milk. Once again, these are anecdotal. I think they deserve to be studied. They deserve some sense of respect, I think, from the fact that people, I don't think, are making this up.
Let's talk more about the economy of this, at least in Massachusetts, and I realize that it is very different from state to state. If more farms had the opportunity to sell more raw milk, they might be able to increase their income. And there is a struggle, you know, in dairy farms as they struggle to stay afoot with the cost of electricity, the cost of feed. So, is there a breakdown on how much more farmers could make if this was permitted? It was permitted for them to sell more openly.
Well, that's a great question, and I'm of the conviction. I come from a business background. I've written a number of books about how to start a business and how to plan a business. And I'm convinced from just having seen many of these situations with raw dairies that there is an important economic aspect to all this. The reality is that we've lost something like 90% of our dairy farms nationally, and this is in Massachusetts as well as other states, since 1970. This is from USDA data. And the reason we've lost all those dairies is because you can't make a living as a small dairy farmer anymore. You have to now be have 500 or 1,000 cows, and some of these dairies, mega dairies, have 8,000 cows or more. So it's become very difficult to just run kind of the traditional small dairy that sends the milk off for pasteurization and kind of collects the check at the end of the month. So the raw milk generally sells for, say, compared to what the store sells it for, $3.50, $4.50 a gallon, you're going to pay between $8 and $12 a gallon.
Right, so you have to be able to afford that too. I mean, as a consumer,
you have to be able to afford that. And but you have to look at it from the farmer's point of view. Instead of getting $2 a gallon or $1.50 a gallon as he was getting before, now all of a sudden he's getting the whole $8 or $10 or $12 a gallon. Suddenly, you got quadruple or quintuple your revenues.
That's quite an increase.
Yeah. David, and now all of a sudden it becomes realistic to actually run a small dairy farm,
right,
and be able to survive.
Let's hear from some milk drinkers and otherwise. 800-423-8255. That's how you can join us this afternoon as we're talking about raw milk and whether or not it is the benefits of raw milk, which are unclear exactly depending what research you read, outweigh the risk of catching some kind of bacteria that could also become a larger public health risk. We have Nolan calling from Somerville. Nolan, thanks for joining us on Radio Boston.
Hi.
Hi, what's your comment?
So I would be excited about raw milk, not for health benefits, but for the benefit of making things like cheese or ice cream at home. And honestly, I think we get a little too worried about bacteria, and I think it's, you know, a little bit of wild bacteria is good for your system to get used to.
And there are different bacterias, though, Nolan. I mean, some of the wild things that we do, you're right, our bodies need those bacterias, but there is research that shows that when these E. coli or Salmonella get into your system, there's some harm. David Gumport, what are the differences in these bacterias are we talking about versus, like, for instance, like a brie cheese, a raw cheese versus a raw milk?
Well, first of all, just on using raw milk to make other products, that is a great use of raw milk. I mean, cheesemakers will tell you that it's much easier to make pretty much any cheese from raw milk versus pasteurized milk. Now, and then the same thing goes for things like kefir and yogurt, even ice cream. You're going to get a better product and a richer product. And as far as the bacteria goes, you talk about a fermented product in particular, or a kefir or yogurt. Now you're getting the naturally occurring micronutrients in the milk, plus the from new bacteria from the fermentation process. And there's increasing evidence that we benefit from that. There's a huge amount of research going into, and you alluded to this, to the microbiome, and this is our whole kind of colony of micronutrients or bacteria and proteins and enzymes kind of in our within our system. Trillions and trillions of these.
Let's get the official state take on what the risks are when people drink raw milk. Again, this is Dr. Aldi Maria with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, and he says the risk is high.
If you're infected with one of the organisms that can be transmitted by raw milk, like salmonella or E. coli, you can then transmit those infections to other people. So you could potentially put other people at risk, too, because you have an infection that could have been avoided had you not been drinking raw milk.
So, David, I imagine you might be shaking your head now going, wait a second, we talked about that there are benefits here. We talked about there are not as many cases of, people died from cantaloupe last year, right? That was not pasteurized because you can't pasteurize cantaloupe.
Yeah, something like 32
cantaloupe.
Or 33.
Something like that. So, but when you have a state official and you have the CDC and you have the FDA saying this is not completely safe and it could be harmful, how do you end up espousing it? I mean, how do you push for this?
I'm not espousing that people should drink raw milk. I'm just espousing that people, like the government, shouldn't make that decision mm-hmm. for us, but then we should make that decision for ourselves. But I also suggest that people, some people are more risk averse than others. But here in, if you look at the data here in New England, we've had one serious outbreak over the last 10 years. That occurred in Connecticut. We had 8 people get sick, 2 of them children, and they got pretty sick with from E. coli 0157H7. Now, for some people, the fact that 2 children got very sick in, say, 10 years is a reason not to drink it. And I respect that. I think that's fine. I mean, if that scares you, then you shouldn't fool around. There are a lot of other people who are going to say, we had something like 1,500 children die from accidental gunshot wounds in the last year, or we had 34,000 people die each year from prescription drugs, overdoses, and whatever, red reactions. That's that's something that concerns me more. So people have their ways of evaluating risk, and think that if you look at the data, the risk is there, but it isn't, at least in our region. Has not been anything I would consider to be
right.
Terrible
David,
risk.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. There's so much more to say, of course. We are running out of time here, but thank you so much for joining us today. And we'll continue the conversation. David Gumpert is an author and a journalist. His book is The Raw Milk Answer Book. We had a lot of listeners calling in. Some own and operate dairy farms. We'll hear from you again. Please hop on over to Twitter, Radio Boston, or find us on Facebook. Thanks so much again, David Gumpert. Stay with
thank
us.
You.
There's more ahead. I'm Jill Kaufman with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.